A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are men.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Tammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And here's the guy that Dinah cannot stop thinking about. This is the Flash.
I think that's confirmed, right? That's canon.
Totally canon now. So how are you doing, Cammy?
I'm great. I'm really excited to talk about this episode. I think this is quite a buzzworthy theme, isn't it?
It is, and it feels like we've been gone for a while because Arrow aired on Monday last week, so it feels like we've had some extra time here.
Yeah, we've missed doing this.
We have. Well, let's get to this. Welcome, Arrow Squad. This is Season 6, Episode 9, called Irreconcilable Differences, which I think had a lot of people wondering just what that meant.
Yeah, especially for an episode that we knew was going to be a wedding episode. That sounds quite ominous, doesn't it?
It totally does. And I think a lot of people are going, oh, no. Not again with the breaking up of Oliver
like
and Felicity.
We can't go through another breakup on this show ever again. They've hit their quota.
They totally did. But we're going to get to all of that. Just before we do have a couple of news items. So let's get into that.
We interrupt this podcast for a special report.
All right. So something we didn't want to bring up during the big exciting crossover week was what there was some kind of results about the whole Andrew Kreisberg thing, Cammy. So what do you have for us?
Well, just to make the whole thing a very short story, Andrew Kreisberg has been fired from all four CW DC shows following 19 plus counts of sexual harassment. And that's basically the whole story.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be a bit of changes behind the scenes on who's running and things, because he was like one of two of the big main guys.
Yeah, he wasn't quite as creatively involved in Arrow in recent years. He was more heavily involved in both Flash and Supergirl. So we'll be getting some fresh creative minds behind both of those shows, I assume, going forward, which I think will do both of those shows quite well.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, let's get away from the sour news. What else do we got?
Some happier news. There's been lots of cast interviews and photo shoots to check out due to it being the mid-season finale. I think quite a few of them have been posted on the Arrow Squad Facebook group. So go check those out and enjoy. And since the mid-season finale just aired, most of those are not going to be too spoiler heavy. So those are pretty safe to enjoy if you don't want the next half of the season spoiled, because of course they've just barely started working on the next half of the season. So just go enjoy all the pretty pictures and interviews.
Yeah, they're having a bit of a holiday themselves, which is very much deserved.
What else do we have, Flash?
Well, we got, I think this is the most exciting positive news, not really news, but we want to send out a special thanks to our new friend Gray Alert, Allison. She has added a Patreon donation to our Patreon page, and we can't thank you enough, Allison. That's very, very generous of you.
Yes. And as Christmas is approaching, we just also wanted to say special thanks to all the other Patreon donors who are supporting us. I think we've got about 7 or 8 of you guys who help us get through any of our tech fees and any of our, you know, the site fees, the server fees, all of that sort of stuff, and keep our equipment up to date. And we appreciate you guys quite a lot and may have some exciting news in the next week or so for them.
Yeah, just because it's been so busy with the crossover and everything else, and you guys know that I run two shows, so I haven't been able to get to everything as early as I wanted to, but with the holiday break, we've got a couple, you know, fun surprises behind the scenes that hopefully you guys will enjoy. But again, just thanks for everybody, and if you want to check out the Arrow Squad Patreon page, just go to Patreon and look up Arrow Squad. You'll find us there. The last bit of news we want to announce is just to remind everyone to make sure everyone knows our return date, and we will announce it again at the end of the show, but it is Thursday, January 18th is when Arrow comes back with an episode called Divided, and I'm sure we get just what that is all about.
Oh, yeah. I think after this episode, we know exactly who's divided, huh?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And since you said that, let's segue into our overall impressions and ratings. How about that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, would you like to start, or would you like me to start on that one?
I don't know. You always have me start. I'm always kicking it off. But it looks like you and me are right in line with each other this week. So how about I let the Lady Villainess go first?
I would be happy to. I'm honored. I've rated this episode an 8 out of 10. And it was really close to getting up there to a 9, but it stayed down there at an 8. I enjoyed this week's tone. It went from high to low very quickly and in a very sort of Arrow-esque way, as the danger lied within the group, which is easily just as frightening as the most meta-powered villain. So I think that really kept this mid-season finale just as strong as any of the other shows were or could have been. And it was also really fantastic to see the long-form plan begin to take shape as tongue-in-cheek referring to them as the Justice League, Team Arrow, began to fall apart, and the Injustice League, Team Kaden, began to visibly form. I thought the only weaknesses were just how painfully contrived and kind of full of plot holes some of the Team Arrow newbie exits were. I understand that this episode was supposed to be all about the newbies exiting temporarily, and I get that, and I'm sure they'll come back together stronger than ever, and this is all part of the big master plan, but I felt some of the exits were a bit weak or out of character, particularly Curtis. His overall writing was a bit shaky, but we can get into that in the plot points. Overall, this was a very strong episode, started with a very lovely celebration, ended very dark with the team falling apart and the villains kind of having an upper hand. So it left me very excited for the next half of the season.
Yeah, totally. I can't disagree with you too much there. I don't think the newbies leaving bothered me as much. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll get into how we feel about all of that for sure.
What about you? What were your ratings?
Well, I also gave it an 8. I gave it an 8 achy breaky hearts. Yes, I called back a very old country song. I don't know why, but there you go. 8 achy breaky hearts. That was tough to go through, and that's kind of why I said that. And not because it wasn't enjoyable, but rather that the scenes amongst the team were tough, in particular with Dinah. She seemed to get the brunt of the accusations. But back to the start of the episode. What a romantic opening. Watching the way Oliver looked at Felicity as she entered was full of feels. I just went, that was wonderful. And then Dinah in that blue dress. Wow. My favorite kind of blue. But I have to ask her, what is with the many broken engagements that she threw out there? She just needs the flash to change all that. Anyway, it was great to see Mama Smoke again. She's a missed family element on this show. And especially when she saw Lance. That was such a great scene. Then it turns dark. And trust is broken, and our bad guys totally have the upper hand without our team even knowing it. That last scene, as they all lined up, was pleasantly shocking. Kaden is outwitting us easily at this point, and it was so, so cool. And before anyone wants to complain about there being a camera in the lair, the Arrow Cave lair, and our team not finding it, did you see where it was? It was way up in the rafters. Why would they even look up there? So that's how I'm countering that, because I saw some complaints. That's what I mean. It was way up there. So anyway, this episode was a great way to leave for the Christmas break. It has me amped up for the return of our show. And I still feel after all the shows closing out this week, Arrow is still leading the pack in a big way.
Yeah, I quite agree. And I quite agree with your ratings as well.
Yeah, well, we got the same. All right. Well, as usual, our honorary kind of third host here, Aaron, had a massive email for us. So if you want to just skip through some of her big points, Cammie, what does she have to say this week?
I'd love to. So Erin is writing into us to share her thoughts about last week's crossover. Starts by pointing out it really was a true crossover this year with all of the shows mixed. So that's definitely a good point. We quite agreed. Mm-hmm. She even finds the crossover better than Justice League. She had a few critiques. For example, she said Mick is great with comedy, but if that's all he was, he could have been replaced by another legend. So she was kind of hoping to see a little bit more there. And she kind of was hoping to see Sarah interact with some others other than just Alex. And she commented on Tommy as Prometheus in the Earth X version and mentioned that that might be a nod to the fan theories from last year that Tommy.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Prometheus.
She also says it's a definite yes to my idea of Dinah leading a mission with Felicity being the voice in her ear as Overwatch. I think that would be lovely.
Yeah, totally.
She goes on to say she's voting in order. She liked Evil Quentin the best. His speech to Sarah made her want to throw up, and also Evil Kara because she portrayed evil well, and so on. And she said the hardest scenes for her to watch were the opening to the Flash's time slot, where they hinted to the audience what the triangle meant and showed the stars and the whole history lesson bit, because that was quite dark. She said, I wish the Arrow writers would take fights from this crossover and fights from the crossover and include them in their fight pack, because finally the bad guys got to shoot at Oliver instead of waiting to take him out one by one. there's a few other comments here about some of the Legends and Supergirl components, and she pointed out Diggle probably sat this one out because of his injury, because if he had shown up, he could have been a liability. And she hopes the Arrow saves any drama for other plots, because she would like to see Felicity stay married, and if they got divorced or anything like that at this point, it would make it feel like, why should fans care? I quite agree. I think the days of romantic drama for them should be quite over.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And she says she didn't mind the double wedding, that it was nice of Oliver and Felicity to throw that together. She liked the Easter egg with the password that I mentioned last week. And that's about it.
Awesome. Awesome as always, Erin. It's just a pleasure to read through your massive stories to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Well, let's move into our favorite moments of this mid-season finale.
Yeah, you want to take this one first?
Sure. All right. This is the mid-season finale, after all. So I went ahead and found three scenes that I wanted to play, because you know what? You're not going to hear from us for a while, for a month and a half. So why not? Let's kick it off with a high here. And I actually thought that you were going to pick one of the three, so I had a backup one. I had a fourth one, but I'm glad that you got the one that you did, because I think between the two of us, we've got the four best moments of this entire episode all packaged up for everybody right here. So I'll give you my three. Number one is right off in the beginning, when Lance brings Oliver his father's watch and says to him, "It isn't right that you don't have parents here." Man, I love that scene. Lance has kind of been a surrogate parent to both Oliver and Thea. So I just thought it was a real nice moment between them. It kind of pulled on the heartstrings on this, you know, they've been building this relationship over 6 years. So I really feel like he is kind of a father figure to them. So here's that clip and we can talk more after.
Congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Come on, Quentin, it's Oliver tonight. Matter of fact, it's always Oliver.
Well, I got a little something for you, Oliver.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't look like much. But, my dad gave that to me on my wedding day.
Quentin, I can't accept this.
It's not like I got anybody I can give it to, is it? And besides, it's not right you don't have a parent here tonight.
Thank you.
This means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that moment. That was so sweet.
It was so sweet. That really has developed into that type of father and kids relationship. And I mean, I think it kind of almost made brought a tear when Lance says it's not like I have anyone to give it to, because he has no kids really anymore right now either. So,
right,
you know,
yeah,
yeah.
It was nice to see him have a few moments of sort of a nice feel good family ish vibe at the wedding himself, though. When he got to talk with Donna, and he got to dance with Dinah. For a second there, I thought I got their names confused. I didn't. He got to dance with Dinah. He got to talk with Donna Smoke. Like, there were some moments. He helped Thea get home. Like, it's nice to see Quentin kind of have a bit of family there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So my second moment was that time in the episode when Oliver confronts Dinah, accusing her of betraying the team.
Yeah.
That was tense. Like, I think out of the three of them, that one was the biggest for me, and it had nothing to do with my love for Dinah. It was tense. And I actually thought he was kind of mean about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then she got really defensive, and rightfully so. I'm all about defending Dinah here, but I think she was totally in the right here. She's proven herself over and over, and that line about her never giving him a reason to trust her, ouch, Oliver, that crossed the line. So here's that clip.
Hey, did you guys just get back from the field? Why didn't I get a call?
We should speak in private.
It's a bit dramatic, don't you think?
Okay. I know that you've been meeting with the vigilante in secret.
You followed me?
I did.
Whatever business I have with Vince is none of yours.
It is when it threatens to put me in prison and keep me away from my son.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about being arrested off the statement of someone who knows my identity. Somebody on this team.
You think it was me? What, because I didn't tell you about Vince?
I think you have given me no reason to trust you.
And you? What about you? You don't trust me either, John?
I'm sorry.
I'm the sorry one. You know? I'm the sorry one for having your back all those times. Screw you guys.
I'm not finished.
I am!
Oh, man, yeah.
Ugh, that was such a intense moment. You know, for me, the Dinah and Oliver face off, like, at that point it wasn't so much tension, because I was just like, this is so dumb, like, they are, you know, like, not seeing eye to eye, but for really kind of, it was a misunderstanding based reason. But mm-hmm. when Diggle didn't back her up, that was when I was like, whoa.
Yeah, well, and it where it was making me upset is, you should have been able to pick up on the way she was responding to his points that, oh, wait a second, we're catching her off guard with this. She doesn't even know what we're talking about. They should have picked up on the way she was reacting, that this, it can't be her. And her, Juliana's performance, did you watch, like, the twitches in her eyebrows and the expressions in her eyes? Man, did she kill that scene. It was absolutely fantastic. And yeah, it really blew up to a head there when she said, screw you guys. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was, you know, there's mixed feelings, because I have mixed feelings about Dinah's behavior and then their behavior towards her. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that with the plot points. But for that moment, I was sort of like, whoa, like, it isn't even so much about reading her behavior, because I don't think you can't always read somebody from their behavior. There can, of course, be somebody who's like a great liar. But the way Oliver confronted her as if he knew anything about it when he hasn't even been leading this team in ages, that was sort of like, sit down, let Diggle take this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to even more later. We'll talk about Diggle and the team later on. But
yeah.
All right, so my third one, which is the one I thought you were going to pick, Cammy, just with your love of these characters and all that, I really thought this was going to be yours. And when I scrolled down and saw that you didn't pick, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm throwing it in here then.
I'm glad you did. I like this moment too.
Yeah, it's the moment when Thea lays down the wisdom on Oliver about why he should forgive Renee. She's totally right, and he knows it.
How can I feel betrayed by somebody doing the exact same things that I've done?
Because you've never sold anyone out on the team, Ollie. And if you're convicted, you could end up spending a really long time in jail. But having said that, you're doing the right thing looking at things through his perspective. And having done that, maybe you can see your way to forgiving him.
Seriously?
Well, Renee is a very desperate guy who just did a very desperate thing. But he's also the same guy who just last night was giving such a heartfelt, sweet speech and calling you his friend. And I really think that he meant that. It was a betrayal, no question. But since you've been able to see things from his point of view, you should also be able to see your way to forgiving him.
Do you?
Quentin needs the team right now, Ollie. But he needs the whole one.
It's almost nightfall. Let's have the team suit up. John. The whole team.
Copy that.
Yeah, Thea.
Yeah, I really liked that they had that talk, but do you want to know why I didn't pick that as my favorite scene?
Why?
I 100% disagree with Thea, and I hate it that I disagreed with her because what? I love Thea so much, but I thought she was so wrong.
Really? I don't.
Yeah.
I thought she was slapping him with reality, like, yeah, Oliver, you've been here, you know what it's like.
No, because, okay, A, she's right when she said Oliver had never done that, but more importantly, I felt so affronted by the fact that so this came after the scene with Dinah. When they thought it was Dinah that had done it, he was like in her face, mm-hmm. angry, like throwing these accusations around. Nobody's standing behind her. Nobody's asking why. Nobody's asking her motivations. Nobody's trying to figure out why she would meet with a vigilante.
Yeah, it's just accusation.
The second they found out it was Wild Dog, it was like, suddenly, we must redeem this guy. Like, he must have had a reason. He must have had what... It's like, he was about to separate you from your son. He was about to throw you in jail so he could have his daughter back after everything Oliver and the team has done to try to get him his daughter back. That right. He's missed court dates. He's done all this stuff, and they've continually tried to get him his daughter back. And the second he decides he wants his daughter back, he won't wait 2 minutes to try to, like, talk with the team and figure out if they can help him. Instead, he sold out Oliver, separating Oliver from his son. That's, like, I understand his motivation. I get where Thea's coming from. Like, you know, it was for a good reason. He wasn't just doing it for money. He was trying to get back with his daughter. But after the reaction they had to Dinah, and then all of a sudden they're being soft towards Wild Dog after everything he's done, and Wild Dog has had way worse, like, insubordination compared to Dinah in the past. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like the reaction, the difference in those two, in the reaction to the two suspects, felt wildly disproportionate to me for no reason. So I didn't support Thea in this whole, like, oh, try to see it from his side. It's like, I can see from his side he was being distrusting and, you know, ungrateful, and yeah, anyways, so that was my
well, I think you covered our discussion points on that topic pretty well, but
that's all my thoughts on the whole episode.
You drive a pretty hard argument there, and to couple that with my defense of how Dinah was treated, I can't really disagree with you, so.
Yeah, I just felt she got such and I'm not even, like, sitting here, like, we'll get into it, the plot points, I'm not even sitting here trying to defend all of Dinah's decisions, because I thought she made some really questionable decisions in who she's trusted and what she's done, mm-hmm. but the team's reaction to her compared to the reaction to Curtis and Wild Dog, we won't even get into Curtis and what they tolerate from him, but their reaction to her versus the other two was wildly disproportionate.
It should have been
the... try to figure out her motivations or what she was doing, or, like, was she meeting with him because she was trying to be an inside agent? They didn't even ask that. That's the first question I'd ask. Like, are you trying to take him down from the inside? And if so, why are you not talking to us about it? You know what I mean? Like, especially Diggle should have talked to her about that after her backing him up with the leadership. Anyways, this is my whole, like, plot point thing. I'm jumping the gun here.
You are right, though. It should have been reversed. They should have reacted to Wild Dog that way just because he has been the loose cannon on the team.
Absolutely.
And he even admits to it. I've never listened to you, and and all, I do my own thing and I don't care. Yeah. And Oliver's like, yeah, that's right. Like it, yeah, it should have been a reverse reaction. They should have given Diana the benefit of the doubt with everything that she's gone through with Diggle, even
and
just
after
based on
every
that. So
bit of like forgiving grace they've given him with his daughter going, like, yeah, trying so hard to get him back to his daughter, even though he's been at some point no help at all to that. And then like all of a sudden he's willing to sell them out for, it's just, anyways, I'm not sure I want Renee back on the team, but we'll get into my favorite scene first. Yeah.
Well, so I'm going to totally, since she was left all alone to her own offenses, I'm going to totally back Diana and say, screw you, Oliver.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like Oliver's reaction to her. I also didn't like Diggle's reaction to her. I appreciated that Felicity didn't attack her, and that Diggle then later was like, we might be able to undo this. It, like, mm-hmm, I don't know. Of the OG trio, I think Felicity's reaction to everything was the smartest, because A, she didn't react wrongly to any of them, especially Dinah.
That's
and
true. She didn't
say anything. B, she also was the one who kind of understood that they couldn't just undo what they did. Like, she understood the severity of what the two guys did. And I think if they had stopped and talked to Felicity first before they had done this, none of this would have happened, especially to Dinah. But anyways.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know.
Anyways,
that's a
favorite moment.
And this is what's great about our Arrow finale, because it brings a lot of emotion up like this. And
absolutely.
Awesome. Well, let's before we got away with our discussion points there, how about you've got a favorite scene, which I agreed with you on. So what is yours?
Yeah, I mean, this is a little unconventional, but my favorite moment was actually the moment that I'm calling them Team Injustice came together and Anatoly joined them. Because at that moment, perhaps for the first time, they truly felt like a formidable foe to Team Arrow as a whole. I know, you know, everybody sort of has their favorite villains in this. And for me, I kind of like Kaden, not really liking the trail of Black Siren currently, really haven't liked what was his name, dragon guy, Richard Dragon. Mm-hmm. Didn't like him at all. So there was a lot of villains that I was kind of excited for that I haven't really been enjoying. So Anatoly joining the team, to me, made it feel whole, and I felt like this was a real foe for Team Arrow. I felt their methods were and would become extremely personal, and it's an intriguing way to sort of highlight the tone of the show, and the moment contrasted well with the fall of Team Arrow. So I really enjoyed that. I'm not rooting for the villains, of course, but I enjoyed that moment.
No, yeah, and we'll talk about them a little bit more after we hear this clip.
When you had me raid their bunker and plant that mini can 2 months ago.
Is this the outcome I had in mind? Quite so, Miss Lance. Although I must confess, things have worked out even better than I anticipated.
Hardly impressive. Left to his own devices, Oliver Queen will always push away those closest to him.
So we've got them fighting with each other instead of fighting us. Please tell me, that isn't your whole master plan.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Diaz. In fact, I think it fair to say that this is only the beginning.
Oh, yeah. You cannot end a mid-season finale any better than that. That is just, that's like, it's just an awesome launch pad to the second half.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, so cool.
Absolutely. Well, do you want to dive into our discussion points now?
Yeah, we'll talk more about
it. I know we've
that.
Kind of already covered like half of them at this point. So maybe this will be fast, but we'll go through them.
All right.
All right, so let's start as usual with our villain of the week. But in this case, I want to start with the inside agent villain of the week, so the mole. There were certainly villains aplenty this week, but the big mystery was actually figuring out which member of the team agreed to testify against Oliver. So what did you think of this as the storyline?
Well, see, I saw some people complaining that we've seen this before, someone betraying Oliver and the team breaking up or whatever, but I'm kind of feeling like we really haven't, not this angle or this take on it. This new team has been solid for a while, and solid enough, in fact, that Oliver has felt comfortable and gave them trust and let them even be their own team without him. So it's on a whole different level. It's a different situation than before, and that's why he took it so much harder this time, I think, and let his emotions get away from him. Because he finally opened up to them after not wanting it initially in the beginning and not wanting to trust them early on. I mean, you heard it in his voice when he said, "I can't believe this is happening again." He was legitimately hurt And I think that's mm-hmm. where his emotion came from. And he kind of lost his, lost his processing there, and kind of, he was kind of, you know, reacting on emotion. So, yeah.
Yeah. So this plot line felt worthy of a mid-season finale to you, right?
Yeah, totally. I think that ending, as I said, was fantastic. And I just said, like, great launch pad into the second half. I mean, that's how you build anticipation for the episodes to come. It was well done. I mean, it opened, like we said, with a beautiful romance. You had to kind of continue the way the crossover ended. So we had to kind of, you know, end that little bit of story and then dive right back into our Arrow storyline. So I think it was a great transition. And, you know, I don't feel like I've seen this before. It was a whole different angle, a deeper level, higher stakes here, I guess you could say. And,
yeah,
you know, with the villains coming together, yeah, it was cool. Definitely.
Yeah. You mentioned the romance at the beginning, the wedding, I thought was lovely. Mm-hmm. And it also sort of served as a launching pad for us to start to suspect people, right? Because we figure out at the wedding that it's somebody inside the team who has sold them out. So who did you suspect or not suspect, or did that change throughout the episode?
See, it's funny you ask that, because I don't watch trailers. I don't watch anything. I don't want to know nothing about the coming episode next week. And one of our feedbackers, Gray Alert, actually, I've been chatting with her behind the scenes, and I guess the trailer gave away that it was Renee right off the bat, so everyone knew who had seen it.
It hinted at it.
Okay.
But it wasn't for sure.
Okay. Well, she seemed to know that it was him just from the trailer. But for me, because I didn't see anything, I didn't know. And I thought it was entertaining that they were first trying to misdirect you into it being Curtis when he's drunk in Renee's apartment and says, man, don't you ever feel like sometimes you just want the whole team to fall apart? So they're kind of making you think, oh, it could be Curtis. But then right after that, Renee, if you're paying attention, Renee kind of shows his hand in the way he responds to Curtis. So if you're paying attention, you knew at that moment it's going to be him. Mm-hmm. But then later on, they try to redirect it towards Dinah by showing her meeting Vince in the back alleys and stuff until she completely defends Oliver and stands up to Vince. Then you know it's not Dinah, and that's why I got so angry at Oliver and Diggle accusing her, because us as viewers, we heard what she was saying, so we know it's not her, because she's telling Vince to get the hell out of here and never contact her again. It's been him contacting her over and over and over again. So she actually hasn't done anything, and this kind of defends her. Yeah, we didn't like her kind of response to Vince before, where, you know, she's let him go or whatever, but this kind of proves that she is on our team's side. She's not contacting him, she's not visiting him, but he just was relentless in getting to her. So she finally went to say, look, enough is enough, get out of here, next time I see you, you're done. So that was like the last straw for her. So I'm defending her up to that point, because I think she's loyal heck.
But I'll get into that.
I think she's loyal to the team, and you know, she's proven herself time and time again.
Right. Yeah. I think what was interesting for me in terms of who I suspected, and like Allison, I knew going into it who it was. And I already, as you guys know, have been kind of hard on Renee. I don't necessarily find the character always relevant to the team. I don't like the inconsistencies in the way his attitude is written. I think this might be a tough character for them to write. I'm sure the actor does a lovely job with what he's given, but this is not my favorite of the newbies by any stretch of the imagination. So I was not at all displeased to find out that he betrayed them. I'm only displeased that they seem to try to be redeeming him. But what I was, I guess, surprised to find was, in my opinion, while Renee's betrayal was the biggest, they sort of were showing these little secrets, I guess, that the newbies didn't trust the rest of the team with. So Curtis's feelings about wanting the team to fall apart, he's absolutely not shared that with the rest of the team. And he's not shared with the team sort of how he was feeling and his sort of feelings of disloyalty to them. And Dinah, like you said, like, she seems to be defending the team to vigilante, but she's letting a villain that's tried to kill the team go and not tell the team that she's still meeting with him and hearing from him.
Yeah,
it's
a fair enough point, but
it was, you know, the whole like no more secrets thing with Diggle, when she seemed like she was about to tell him and then she decided not to, you know, So for me, I'm really hard on Rene because I hate what he did. I don't like the character and I don't like his attitude about it. And I don't want him redeemed. However, the person that Rene colluded with was not a villain. The person Rene colluded with was essentially the FBI. Mm-hmm. He's colluding with just another good guy. I don't like what he did. I consider it the biggest betrayal by far. And I don't like the team's reaction to Dinah at all. However, in the team's eyes, Rene colluded with an FBI agent and Dinah colluded. She didn't really, but it looks like it colluded with a villain. So that's pretty significant, I think. I think they should have asked her more questions about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then with Curtis, it's more just like in his head, there's this lack of loyalty towards the team at this point.
So maybe that, just based on what you just argued, that is probably why Oliver and Diggle reacted the way they did to Dinah and then were a little bit easier on Rene because of the way you just said, villain versus FBI. So yeah.
Right.
Makes sense. It really.
At this point, she is actually kind of colluding with a villain. But that's after the team sort of betrayed her back. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to remember at this point, the villains are all sitting back in their villain lair watching them on camera. So they know exactly what's going on. They can use that to their advantage. And Vince obviously did. Dinah just felt betrayed by her own team that she's been supporting, her new family. So she's in an emotional state of unrest and he contacts her and she needs someone because she says herself, I need someone I can trust, someone I can rely on. He's like, well, I can do that for you. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Because they've got enough mixed emotions between the two of them coming back together again. And that's a whole big mess that hasn't been solved yet. So she's got a lot of turmoil right now that is probably pretty difficult to feel your way through. But the villain's got the upper hand because they know all of what's happening. I'm not ready to throw hot water at her yet. I'm totally on her side. I feel what she's going through. I can't imagine how tough that would be. We'll have to see.
So tying that back to Rene, do you think Rene can be quickly redeemed or retrusted? And are you sympathetic to his reason? I know I already shared my thoughts, but what are your thoughts on him?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I don't think he wants to be redeemed right now. I mean, he flat out said he doesn't care. And that scene with his daughter, when he says nothing's ever going to tear them apart again, kind of gave me the feeling like he might not be coming back to the team unless somehow everything works out. Like, they figure out a way to foil the FBI and the FBI backs off and, he gets to keep his daughter and they have to go fight the villains. Like, unless everything, all the pieces fall into place, I almost have a feeling like he might not be coming back for a while.
I would love that. That sounds great.
Yeah. And as for being sympathetic towards him, I think his reason is valid. I don't agree that he didn't come to the team with it to get them to see if they can all figure out a way around it. He should have trusted the team instead of just jumping on the chance to get his daughter back because he's forgetting that it's Oliver that gave him that second chance, like you already said. By pulling some of his mayor strings, he went out of his way to help Rene out. So that's where I agree with you on, is I feel like Rene kind of jumped the gun there. It seems like everyone's letting emotions drive their decisions and they need to step back and do some thinking. So maybe having an episode or two of them apart will kind of let them all figure a few things out and maybe we'll find some common ground to agree on again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of all of the newbies leaving, it makes most sense for Dinah to come back first because I think her leaving was genuinely just a matter of they did not have enough information. Rene, I don't need to see him come back, and Curtis just needs a complete revamp before they bring him back. I would love to see so much good for Curtis, but the writing for him in this episode was atrocious. But we'll get more into that when we talk more about the state of the team, which I think we've already almost mostly covered.
but before we
do too much of that, let's talk about our villains a little bit. So Team Arrow fell apart, but Team Caden/Anatoly/everyone else came together. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, we need to, I mean, we could just call them the Injustice League, essentially.
Yeah.
People are talking about Legion of Doom, but, whatever. We can have a fun name for them.
Yeah,
it was totally awesome and unexpected. I did not see that coming at all. First, Anatoly walks in, then Vigilante, then Dragon. What a cool reveal of all of them. It felt like a big movie moment. Here's the villain team. Like it was, it was a cool moment. I loved it.
Yeah. And how do you feel about them as a group being the big bad rather than there being one big bad?
Well, it's fantastic. As you were saying, almost each character has a personal villain to face for very specific reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of got Oliver, I guess, almost has two. I was going to say Oliver and Black Siren, but he also has Anatoly. Very personal connection there. You got
Phyllis. I feel like it's Oliver and Anatoly and Dinah versus Black Siren.
Yeah, I guess so. But right now I'm saying Dinah and Vigilante. To me, that's a more personal connection. That's what I'm talking about. If you want to compare villain like versus hero powers based on powers, then yeah, Dinah and Black Siren. But I think the personal connection is Dinah and Vigilante right now. That's what she's going to have to deal with. Yeah. Like you have Felicity and Caden and Diggle and Dragon because of the drug issue and stuff like that. So that's what I'm pulling on is the personal connection is how I'm facing them off against each other. Mm-hmm. But I have to ask, who is that other guy still? We haven't gotten a villain power or capability or anything. Who is that guy that's always standing on Caden's left side?
I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. No idea. I have no idea who he is either. But last season was very personal for Oliver, and we loved it. Now it's very personal for the whole team this season, who just happened to have fallen apart.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite villains from the lineup?
Well, you know what? Out of this group, it's obviously Black Siren. Katie Cassidy's just been killing it and killing everyone that she comes across this season. I do like Caden, actually. He's so maniacal yet controlled. I love that actor from Lost. And he's just playing it. He's playing it so cool and collected and, you know, he's almost like the Thinker on The Flash in a sense. He's kind of got all
very
his
much so.
Plans laid out ahead of them. And he's way ahead of our team right now. Yeah. But yeah, so him and Black Siren, and Katie Cassidy is just killing their performance. I love it. She's so much fun as a bad guy. How about you?
Yeah. I think I'd pick Caden as my favorite. I think Richard Dragon's my least favorite.
Yeah, he hasn't done enough yet.
Yeah. I talked about that on that episode. I won't bring that back up. But Caden, I think, is my favorite. He sets the tone for how this type of team is going to attack Team Arrow. And a fantastic actor. They did a great job casting him. Black Siren's, you know, I love her as a villain. There was some stuff in this episode I wasn't crazy about. The whole like ear licking, like, don't make her a sexual villain. Please don't make her do that. Let her be like a cutthroat, ruthless. Like, don't. It was way too much like trying to make her weirdly sexual. And then there was like the weird way they worded some of the like, oh, it's daddy daughter time, that felt like almost fetishy. I just was not crazy about the way they portrayed her this episode. But I think that she has fantastic portrayal as a villain in several other episodes. So
okay, interesting. I didn't pick up on that kind of feeling at all, because you say sexual villain. I mean, there's that one episode that she opened up with where she's hitting on guys from the bar and taking them out and killing them. So I thought she was very sexual.
See, with that,
there.
I don't mind, because if she's trying to sort of Black Widow them or whatever, that's fine if it's overtly. But in this episode, and I think we got some feedback that said this. I know in my after show, I got two or three people saying this as well. There was just, whenever she's with Lance, when it's supposed to be like, you know, she's using essentially psychological torture because she has the face of his daughter and she's not his daughter, you know, it weirdly comes across as sexual instead. And it's very uncomfortable. I was not crazy about it. Maybe that was just me and a few others, but yeah, didn't love it.
Yeah. See, I don't see it as sexual. I see it as, because you just brought the point, because she looks like his daughter and he's struggling with it.
Right.
I think she knows that. And I think deep down, which we saw a bit, possibly a bit of it revealed, we'll get to that in a sec. I think she might be having a bit of an issue with it herself, because she revealed she hasn't had her dad since she was 13. So I think deep down she might be struggling with it, and a way to counter her own feelings, she's toying with him about his problems seeing her as his daughter. So she's kind of throwing that angle in there where you're picking up on it as being kind of sexual. I think she's just toying with him and being like, oh, daddy's little girl, ha ha ha. And she's, that's her way of covering that she doesn't give a crap and she wants him to make sure that, you know, she is Ziva. That's how I'm seeing it. So it's not bothering me at all. I think it's kind of fun and kind of cool. And, you know, it's her way of dealing with it. But that gets us to our next point. It gets us to our next point, though, because you're asking me about who I want to see redeemed.
Yeah.
And that's where I wanted to ask you, did it seem like Siren began her redemption path when she opened up to Lance here and ultimately let him go? Or is she totally playing him so that down the road he messes up or takes her side because she's too evil to be redeemed?
They need to keep her as a villain or they're going to be overriding months of work they've done on this character. Right. And this is not an easy character to work with. They've shown for years flaws writing versions of this character, significant flaws that severely injured the show. And they have finally hit on a perfect way to write her. Mm-hmm. This perfectly shows her as a powerful person who can get inside the minds and also has a meta power and get inside the minds of the team and mess with them, has her scream, has all of that. She's a great, formidable villain. She can get under her skin. She can be ruthless in a way that we haven't even seen, like, Slade or Merlin be ruthless sometimes. Like, when she went after Thea, like, that was brutal there in the hall with this tiny girl that can barely, like, just came out of a coma, slamming her into the ground, like, showing that sort of, like, no remorse type of brutality. Mm-hmm. That's something that's a huge asset to Arrow's villainy arsenal. You know what I mean? Like, that needs to be kept. To redeem her would be a huge misstep, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. You took the words right off of my notes here. That scene was so brutal. When she threw her against the wall and smashed into that shelf and hit the ground. And she was cruel about it. And, you know, she was, next time don't wake up or whatever. She said something really cruel there. And I agree with you. I don't want to see her redeemed. That's why I was asking, like, do you think that was the start of her redemption path? Because she did listen to Lance and let him go. I mean, or is she just being a villain? Like, she has a little bit of morality in the sense that he let her go once, so she's paying him back by letting him go once. Now they're even. And it's back to her being cruel. And like I said, she is just playing with him because she knows that he's struggling with it. And so if she plays up to that and lets him go, then he's going to think he can redeem her. And that's when she's going to, you know, pull the rug out from under him and really screw the team over. That's what I'm wondering. And that's the way I hope they do it, because that would really sink in just how nasty she is.
I quite agree. Mm-hmm. So we mentioned Thea. Let's get more into the Team Arrow side, all right?
Yes, let's.
All right. So, State of the Heroes address is quite tumultuous every week, but this week especially, because our team fell apart due to a mole. What did you think of the sort of civil war between the team of the newbies versus the oldies?
Well, it was hard to watch, wasn't it? Like, our team felt so complete finally after how many years of turmoil and dissension in the ranks. We finally had a solid group that found a good working dynamic with each other in the field and in the lair. But tonight it was two very distinctly different teams of three.
Yeah. Did you find yourself siding with one or the other, or sympathetic to both?
Oh, man, that was hard to figure out. At times I understood why Oliver was so upset, but then I was upset with him and how he dealt with them, especially with Dinah, like we were talking about. And I actually was kind of sympathetic towards the newbies. I really liked that scene when they were all getting a burger together. They were sitting down and they were in total support of each other. They've become their own team of three. They're, you know, because they all kind of joined the team at the same time, essentially. And I really like, Curtis has been there for a while.
Yeah.
But with the launch of the new season, remember how we were complaining how they completely revamped him? In the beginning.
But I feel like that should have been acknowledged in his.
Yeah.
See, for me, I did not find myself sympathetic to the newbies as a unit. I found myself sympathetic pretty much only to Dinah. Renee, I felt no sympathy. I know, I'm like on your side now, crossing over into your lane. Renee, I felt no sympathy for. You know how I feel about that. Curtis, I feel sympathy for him only in that I feel sympathy that he's having to deal with this writing, because I think he should have been written differently. I think, if anything, he should have been written as being an outsider to the newbies, because he should have been written as like somebody between the old and the new team. Because he's been around for a whole season longer than the rest of them. And he's already – like he had an inside track to the team as soon as he was announced. Like he and Felicity and all that – that should have been written in, and it wasn't written in, which was a huge misstep with him. And instead they gave him the storyline they did give him this episode, which was written terribly. No offense. They tried.
Yeah.
So I felt sympathy towards him for that. With Dinah, I felt sympathy because I felt like the storyline they were trying to give her was completely unexplored. The reaction that the team, in this case, I'm only referring to Oliver and Diggle, had towards her was absolutely out of character for them. They are not these people who just like, as soon as they find out about this, they ask no questions.
It wasn't fair to her at all.
Yeah. But then to put this back on the newbies, though, I also felt that their reaction to being tracked was ridiculous.
Hmm.
They have tracked people on the team before. Curtis has put a GPS in Felicity's food before to track her to Helix, and for him then to come around to be like, you tracked me, you don't trust me. You put a GPS tracker in Felicity's burger before to track her, and she didn't care. Like, you know that this is the way the team goes. You know if they sense something suspicious, they're going to track you. And it's not even because they don't trust you. They could suspect you're being kidnapped. They could suspect you're being mind controlled. They could suspect that you're under duress, or there's some sort of, you know, near kidnapping situation, or you're not allowed to talk. You know, like, this is a show that has people that have, you know, metas with mind control, and, you know, people that can put on somebody else's face, like human target and stuff. There's many reasons why they may not trust you beyond just not trusting your character. And these team members have tracked each other, both OTA tracking each other, newbies tracking OTA. Like, that was ridiculous, this whole, like, we don't trust you because we tracked you. Of course they did. It's for your own well-being. That was ridiculous on all three of their parts. And the only one who then had an additional thing to be mad about was Dinah, because not, like, she should not have been mad about being tracked, but she should have been mad about the way they reacted to her once they found out. That's my stance on that.
See, and this is why it's so difficult for me to pick a side or to have a final, like to pick a side and stand on it, because I keep wavering back and forth, because I agree with everything you're saying. But I feel like, okay, the newbies shouldn't be upset at being tracked. They only followed their GPS. It's not like they did any more than that. And like you said, the team has done it before. They've all done it before, so they shouldn't be upset about that. But at the same time, I'll sway to the other side and I'll say, yeah, but the newbies at this point have felt like they are part of the team. This team has been solid. There has not been a split 3-3. It's finally felt like a solid group. So the knee-jerk reaction is, say, wait a second, you tracked us? Like, hello, I've been on this team for how long? We're good. I understand the knee-jerk reaction to that, and that's what I mean. I keep swaying back and forth. Both sides have valid points.
That would undermine the entire show, though, if they were treated the same as the oldies. This is a six season show. Felicity and Diggle have been there from the beginning. Oliver is going to knee-jerk react, trust them first. Oliver hasn't even worked with the newbies almost at all this season, so he only has a little bit of experience with them in general. It would be way out of character for him to treat Diggle and Felicity the same as he would the newbies. We as viewers can trust the newbies, or trust some of the newbies, or have that sort of feeling, but it would undermine the show if a character who's been there for 6 years is suddenly treated with the same trust from Oliver as somebody that he met a mere matter of months ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, again, I keep swaying back and forth. I can see points to both sides, and I'm not going to choose a side fully, because I can
choose my favorites.
Argue and defend. Yeah. I am with you though. Like where I felt with Wild Dog at the end, like I didn't like him from the beginning either, but he has grown on me, and I like what they've done with his character. We liked all season long, and a little bit last season, how he started working with Lancelot. There, I said it again, Lancelot. We loved those scenes with that. And then he started making connections with Curtis and we were enjoying them there. So he has grown on me. I still went with the way they said he's leaving the team. I wasn't in a painful shock. I was in a, oh man, that sucks. Like, this team is finally solid. We finally have a good team. Why are you kicking everybody off? That's what I was kind of feeling. But for Renee himself, I was like, well, he still, what happened when he got angry in the lair there and said, you know me, I never follow your orders. I'm always doing my own thing because I don't care. That flashed me back to the original Renee in the very beginning when he never obeyed orders and, you know, never listened to Oliver and Oliver hated him. I hated him too. And this flashed me back to that. And I was like, oh my God, you just went all the way back. Now I don't like you. Yeah, get the heck off the team.
I agree.
And it made it a little difficult to feel the moment when he was with his daughter in the apartment. It made it a little bit difficult to feel that scene, but I still did. It was still nice. And we just haven't had enough time with him and his daughter to really connect to those two and understand the relationship they might have. So, so the feels were a little bit tough to come by. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm in a way with you. I don't know if I care if he comes back or not, but I do, to the point that he is part of this team that I thought was pretty good and pretty solid finally, where they all trust each other and had a good working field relationship and everything. What's kind of funny, and I'll bring this up, is when we're talking about the newbies, is we're all missing Ragman.
Yeah.
You know, and hoping he would come back or whatever. And it was just funny because I'm sitting there watching this episode and I'm thinking about it. And I was done watching Arrow, and then, you know, Patty Spivak comes down and joins me at the TV, and we watched this other TV show, Saving Hope, together. And it's a medical drama like Grey's Anatomy. And sure enough, Ragman shows up on that episode as this big CEO of the hospital. And he comes down, he basically shows up to make sure the hospital and all the doctors and staff are doing their job properly. And he's like this nasty, you better do your jobs or I'm going to fire you kind of thing. I was like, whoa, how weird is that I'm watching Arrow thinking, I miss Ragman. When's he coming back? And he pops up on the very next TV show. It was just funny.
Right. That's
funny. So, yeah.
So diving back into Team Arrow, we kind of covered between Dinah and Renee which secret we thought was worse. You know, Dinah's technically meeting with a villain, whereas Renee was meeting with an FBI agent. But Dinah had way more reason and motivation that wasn't betraying the team, whereas Renee's reason and motivation was betraying the team. Mm-hmm. And also, I just don't like Renee and I do like Dinah. So that's that.
Yeah.
But what do you think will bring OTA back around to coming back together for those who do come back to the team?
Well, I think Dinah's going to be the first one that comes back. I think she's going to get into some trouble because of the situation she's in right now, and she's going to need the team. And I think it's Diggle. I think it's Diggle that's going to bridge the gap between the team again, because he's the one that's been out in the field with them as their leader recently.
He's been the real leader this whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is Dinah's going to go get in trouble and Diggle's going to go save her.
Well, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's just Diggle. Nah, don't even bring that in. We're not even going to talk about that this episode. This is our finale. I think Diggle's going to be the one, because he's in the beginning of this episode, he was kind of defending her, saying, hey, wait a sec, Oliver.
Right.
And I don't know what
her enough, in my opinion, after all that she did defending him with the leadership situation.
Yeah. So we didn't really see what changed Diggle's mind to stand behind Oliver at that point. So I think he's going to figure it out. He'll be the one that goes back, and whether he has to save her or he gets the team to save her or whatever. Like, I don't think they're going to abandon any of them. I think if any members of the team are in trouble, Oliver and Diggle will get out there to help him out.
You know, actually, I'm going to take it back. I understand why Diggle would stand behind Oliver, because he's known him longer.
Yeah, that's
now
true.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, yeah, I think it'll be Diggle. I think it'll be Dinah first. And we'll see what happens with Curtis. I think Felicity will eventually talk to Curtis. And I'm hoping she brings back the history that they had together long before he became Mr. Terrific.
The history they have of him tracking her without her consent, so he has no room
but
to talk.
I have a feeling they won't, because of the contrasted difference from one season to the next, when they completely rewrote Curtis's story, essentially.
Yeah. Well, that was just last season that he tracked her.
Yeah.
It was the Helix storyline.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah. We'll,
yeah. You kind of started to answer this a little bit already, and I think I already did too, what we want to see in 6B, so in the back half of season 6.
Well, all I want to say first is just keep pumping out Stellar Arrow episodes, because we are on a roll and not looking back. That's most what I want to see. But of course, I want Dinah back. I'd like to see her come back, and I guess she needs a bit of redemption right now because of the way the team treated her. So I want a bit of redemption for her where she gets to prove herself to them. I also want to see Thea get back to training, because she brought up the fact that she's not strong enough anymore. So let's get her training, get her strength back up, possibly suit up. We'll see. I don't know if that's what's in the plans for that actress or not, but to kind of coincide with her, because she mentioned it this episode that she was waiting for someone to show up at the wedding, and that could only be Roy. I am hoping for a Roy appearance soon.
You think he might return?
I want him to. He was always my favorite character on Arrow. So, although, well, Dinah kind of has supplemented that now. But yeah, if I could have a Roy and Dinah scene, that would be fantastic.
That would be really interesting. I think I agree with everything you've listed. And then one thing I would just sort of caveat for season 6B is I really don't want it to be contrived that OTA is suddenly failing out in the field and has to bring the newbies back. I don't want it, because we've seen Oliver, Diggle, and Felicity do fantastic work on missions against the most serious and threatening of villains. And if they're suddenly failing out in the field without support, and like Oliver can't throw a punch without backup, and Diggle can't take people down, and all of this, and Felicity needs tech help and all this sort of stuff, it would feel very contrived just sort of to make the newbies relevant. So I want the reasons they come back to the team to be relevant and to not undermine our original characters that we've all seen, you know, succeed just fine without them.
Yeah, that's a good point. But what I, if you think about it, we don't even have a team. Like if Oliver, which he didn't keep track of this week, if he sticks true to his promise to William and doesn't suit up, the only team we have is Diggle, and Diggle is not 100% right now. So we don't know, is Diggle going to go out in the field at less than top notch and do missions by himself? There is no team right now. So, and then in thinking that, I was thinking about the point about Oliver. He was suited up this entire episode just about. I said, how's that going to affect him and William? But really, I think when situations are dire, like Lance's life on the line, Oliver's going to suit up no matter what. So I don't know how that's going to play into the storyline with him promising William. But I said, we don't have a team right now at all. So I don't know what's going to happen from that point on.
Yeah, I agree. Any other comments you have for this episode?
Yeah, there's a few things I wanted to bring up that didn't make it in our notes. But I just thought Felicity in a garbage can with Curtis pushing her. That was hilarious. Adorable. I love when she popped out of it and smacked him. That was just, it was fun. What a fun scene.
And I love when she gets to be in field missions as well. It's so fun.
Yeah, it was tons of fun. And then you mentioned mission. How about that Mission Impossible type scene that we saw? I mean, everyone's like, oh my god, it's Mission Impossible, I don't know, what a ripoff. No, it's cool. It was so suitable to Arrow. Like, this is a perfect type of Arrow stealth mission. And I bet Stephen Amell is a fan of the Mission Impossible movies, and I bet you he just had a blast getting to reenact that whole scene. Like, who wouldn't? So much fun. I'm surprised they didn't put in a little bit of a musical, you know, highlight that it was Mission Impossible. That would have been fun.
Then I thought it was great.
Yeah, I also loved the fight sequence near the end there when Oliver laid down his bow. I thought that was pretty awesome. And it, just in the sense, like, it gave me a feeling like, oh man, he might be outnumbered here, because it was Oliver against many, almost too many. And you got the sense like he looked like he was starting to tire out, because he was taking until, you know, Dinah came in and started helping him. He was, you know, that was a lot of guys. Normally it's just Oliver against 3 or 4, no problem. But Oliver against 20, that was a big, that was a lot to overcome. So that was a really, really cool scene. And again, I just love Arrow's fight sequences. It's just very gritty hand-to-hand combat without hardly any superpowers. And it was just fun to see him work his way through that. Did you notice, though, when Dinah stepped in to save him or to help him out, she didn't use her cry once this episode?
Yeah, I wonder why that was.
I don't know, but what I thought was funny, I'm watching it the second time through and I was looking for our sound clips. I noticed in that scene when she was fighting, every time she connected with her staff, there was like this ding sound when she hit someone across the head. Oh my God, when you hear it, it sounds painful.
Yeah.
Because her staff is obviously some type of metal, but wow, you heard that metal collide with skull and it had this weird clanging sound. Ouch, that's got to hurt. And then I just thought, for me, one of the heaviest lines in the episode, when she said to Oliver during that argument, "I don't believe in you anymore," that to me was a very deep cut and obviously coming from emotion. I think that's what she's going to have to overcome. I don't know if it's going to be Oliver having to regain his trust from her or what, but I just thought, wow, ouch. Okay. There's some emotions at play here.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
Well, would you like to get into what our listeners had to say about this episode?
Let's do that. Let's get to some transmissions. All right. We got quite a few emails and a couple of voicemails, so we're going to kick it off with a pair of emails, and I'll take the first one.
All right.
First one is from Stormy Woods, and she says, "I'll give this episode 9 out of 10. I love the Olicity wedding reception. There is so much heart in the interactions between all the characters. Thea alluding to Roy when talking to Ray makes me want him back." Me too. "Renee being the one to turn on Oliver wasn't surprising, and I even get why he did it. Custody of his daughter was threatened, and Renee is the only family she has. I understand Oliver behaving the way he did. He's been burned before by team members." Yes, okay, so she's kind of where I'm at, where she's in the middle and kind of understanding both sides. So she continues, "The conversation with Thea and Oliver about Renee was very well done. More Queen sibling scenes, please." Well, I hope you enjoyed my sound clip I played. "I like Dinah, but I need her to smarten up where Vince is involved. Letting him back in your life is going to end so badly, especially when he's on Team Villain." Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's going to learn that lesson the hard way coming up, for sure. Mm-hmm. "While I like Curtis, his being mad that OTA tracked him is hypocritical. You tracked Felicity last season." Yeah, she's totally in line with you now.
Yeah.
"Speaking of villains, Black Siren has really creepy... Black Siren has really been creepy, almost sexual chemistry with Lance." Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. See, she was in tune with me for the first half. Now she's in tune with you.
Yeah.
beating up Thea, who just woke up from a 6-month coma, was so evil. Yes. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah.
"Hoping Thea regains her strength and returns to the beatdown to her." How fun would that be?
It would.
"Aside from Anatoly and Caden James, I'm not interested in the rest of the villain squad. Michael Emerson is great, and Anatoly will be the emotional gut punch to Oliver." Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
"Prediction, Roy comes back this season. I'm trying to will this into occurring because I want it to happen." Yeah, holy cow, Stormy Woods.
You guys are Roy fans, aren't you?
Oh, we are huge Roy fans. Stormy, you are, yeah, you're my new best feedback friend at the moment. You're in tune with both of us. That was awesome.
Absolutely.
Great, great points. All right, next we have I'm Just Here for Felicity. Take it away, Kim.
Sure. I'll take this one. She says, "I love the way Oliver looks at Felicity. She makes him such a better person, and there was so much love about the wedding, from the adorable cake topper to Curtis fighting Donna for the flowers. It was just great."
Aww.
"Dinah clearly channeled her inner Pippa Middleton during her dress selection, because I'd argue it gives Felicity's dress a run for its money."
Yes, it did.
It's cute. I think they both looked absolutely lovely. And she says, "I'm with Renee. How are you going to walk away after that bombshell about multiple engagements from Dinah? The trio moments at the bar were great." And she goes on to say, "So has Quentin just forgotten Sarah's alive? Because he could have given her the watch. And the Renee Thea dance was a cute moment at the wedding, too." I thought that was cute.
Well, just on that point, it's a man's watch. And I think he was referring to that he doesn't have a son to give it to. Because that's kind of a thing a father passes on to a son. So,
yeah,
that's what I think that was meant by.
I think so too, but I'm kind of with her in that it could go either way. Like, you know, he could have given that to Sarah. But I thought it was a lovely moment.
Maybe he's got a necklace
the lovely moment with Oliver, but I do understand. She says, I'm so happy they didn't make Dinah the sappy ex who reconnected with Vince because of the one explanation that he gave her. I can believe she might be intrigued by his statements, but to instantly go back to him would feel sappy, and I'm glad they were more realistic with their approach. And the quote, congrats on not being comatose, I love evil Laurel.
I love that whole paragraph. I would totally agree with you there.
Yeah. She says Oliver needs to get off his high horse with Dinah because Roz almost killed the team, but he still lied to them about doing things with him. Very true. Mm-hmm. I get he doesn't want another Evelyn situation, but he seems really hypocritical and it makes me dislike him. He better apologize to Dinah a lot. I'm really not liking Oliver this episode. He would have done the same thing for William, so him judging Renee is, again, hypocritical. He would have done stuff to protect William, like putting down his own costume, but I'm not sure if he would have betrayed the team, but maybe. She also goes on to say, I really hope they aren't redeeming Black Siren, and if it looks that way, it's fake, because she's too awesome a bad guy to lose so soon. I agree.
Exactly.
And her final comment here is, I get Renee's upset, but that's not how you regain trust. Again, I hope this is a long con by Black Siren, because no to a redemption arc for her, as we need quality bad guys on this show, and she's one. I'm actually team newbies in the fight, because again, Oliver needs to get off his high horse. Oh, Dinah Vince scene, you disappoint me. Why couldn't she lean on the boys instead of him? Also, yay to Zoe. And is the Legion of Doom for Arrow, is this the Legion of Doom for Arrow, or are we calling them something else? A frustrating but good episode overall.
Excellent feelings and sentiments for sure. Yeah, we got to come up with a team name, because we already had the Legion of Doom. We could call them Injustice. I don't know. This isn't really that. The Justice League, I think, was the crossover. So who knows? This could be like, I don't know. We've got Team Arrow. Could this be Dark Arrow? Or no, because they don't have an Archer on their team. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
Leave us comments and tell us. Come on, fans. What, like, be called.
Yeah. But good email. Thanks as always. Next, we got a voicemail from our friend Destiny Dazzler.
Hi, Arrow Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. I just finished watching the episode. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good mid-season finale. I loved the reception at the beginning. I got really emotional watching that. My Elicity heart was very happy. And I love the fact that At Last was their first dance song. as far as the rest of the episode goes, I wasn't surprised at all that Renee was the one who betrayed Oliver. It didn't shock me at all. I wasn't surprised that the team split up after finding out that Oliver and Felicity were spying on them, but obviously I think they'll end up getting back together at some point. It'll be interesting to see how that happens. I was surprised, however, that Anatoly is a part of Caden James' team of bad guys. That was a little bit shocking.
Yeah.
So I think it was a great way to hit the mid-season point and end for the mid-season. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the team comes back together and just the different storylines play out. So I'm excited to see what happens. I hope you guys have an amazing Christmas and holiday season, and I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Aw, thanks, Destiny.
Aw, always good to hear from her. I love hearing her reactions to the episode.
It sounds like she was pretty much entertained and liked what was going on. I'm glad that she's happy with the wedding stuff. I think most fans
it was a lovely wedding.
Well, I think they should be satisfied. They didn't break up. Our main two got to actually have a nice moment. This episode opened with them having a nice opening. And nothing happened. I kept expecting something to happen. I was waiting for something to happen, and nothing did. I was like, wow, they actually got to complete having this good moment. Way to go.
I know. It was lovely, and it was nice to set the tone that high because it contrasted so well with how darkly the episode ended.
Exactly. All right. Next, we got a voicemail from our new friend, Gray Alert. Here she is.
Yay. Hey, Air Squad. Gray Alert here. Awesome, awesome episode, as always. This was episode 9, so it was Irreconcilable Differences. So good. I have a few things that I just loved about it. So the wedding was amazing. It was so cool to see them happy and actually celebrating their wedding. And it was kind of interesting because we really didn't get to see that on The Flash, I know we're talking about Arrow here, but just as an aside, Barry and Iris got married and I guess they went on a honeymoon and Barry had to run around in flip-flops or something. But it's just kind of, it was cool that Felicity and Oliver actually got to celebrate and have a reception and have their family there and Felicity's mom and dad. That was really cool. And Renee's speech was really lovely, which leads to the fact that it was really sad that it was him. I suspected it because I do try to avoid spoilers, but I also am on social media a lot with Arrowverse stuff, and I think people were suspecting it was going to be him. And even with just the trailer, I think of all the people to have something big that they could lose, it would probably be Renee. So that was really sad. I think I didn't feel his guilt as much as I would have liked. He seemed to be sort of like, look, that's the way it is. And I think he obviously cares about his daughter more than anything, which I can totally relate to. But on the other hand, it's, you know, I mean, this is his family too. So it was very sad. It was really sad to see the team fracture like that. And it was sort of expected that it was going to be OTA versus new Team Arrow, but it was sad. Sad nonetheless. And I think that's a testament to how much we care about this team and these characters. This team has really become really special. And I have to say, being at Heroes and Villains Fan Fest last weekend in San Jose, which was absolutely amazing and one of the best weekends ever, it was really cool to meet them all in person. And they are, as Cammie has said, lovely people and just so kind and generous. And it was just amazing. I had a fabulous time. I recommend it to anybody. So the last thing I wanted to say is that it was really cool in the very last shot where they had the six villains. And I have to tell you, maybe you guys can tell me, I don't know who that person on the end, the second from the left was. So Diaz was on the end, but then the second from the left. I know he's been working with Kaden and Evil Laurel, but who is he and what is his name? I really don't remember. And the other thing that was weird is that they talked about each person on the team, each hero having their own villain. So everybody has his or her own villain for the season. There are six of them. But what didn't make sense to me is that there are sort of two for Dinah. So there's Vince, and then there's also, you could say, Black Siren, because it's both, you know, both of them have their canary cries. So how does it work? So you have Laurel and Dinah. You have Vince and Dinah. You have Anatoly and Oliver. You have Diaz and Diggle. You have Kaden and Felicity. And then you have this mystery guy and Wild Dog question mark, Curtis question mark. I figured Curtis would be Kaden, but that's also Felicity. And so I really wasn't clear, and I'm not quite sure it actually fits six for six, but it's six villains and also six heroes, unless I'm missing a villain, but I think that's everybody. Anyway, the symmetry was super cool and I loved it. And I think that's all I have to say, guys. So it was a fantastic episode. Great mid-season finale. And Stephen Amell tonight on Facebook was saying how they sort of set the table. It wasn't a cliffhanger, but they set the table. And I totally felt that way. It was like setting up a chessboard for the rest of the season. And it was phenomenal. And you guys know how much I love the show. And I thought it was just fabulous. So anyway, thanks as always for a great podcast episode. And you guys rock. And Gray Alert out.
You know, this is why I love Allison so much. She really...
so many points I want to answer. She has so many great thoughts.
Yeah, like she has so many great thoughts. She's right in tune with what we're thinking. She's right in tune what I'm thinking and feeling, especially at the end there with trying to compare the villains versus the heroes. I just love that she was laughing at who is that guy. We don't have an answer for you, Allison. I'm sorry.
I do have an answer, actually. Oh,
is that because you looked ahead, though?
I looked it up. Yeah. I looked at what he's credited as for this episode. So it's not a spoiler. It's just the name for this episode.
Uh-huh.
His name is Boots, and the actor's name is Tobias Jelinek.
Okay, but see, that means nothing, Boots. So yeah, what does that mean?
That's all I got.
She has a good point, though. Like, who is he faced off against? Is it Curtis or Wild Dog? That's really the only two that are left that don't have their own personal villain. We haven't really seen him do anything, so I don't know.
I think it's probably going to be Wild Dog, but I think I have an answer with the Vincent versus Siren thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is kind of just more speculation. I'm guessing one of them will end up being the villain that Dinah has to take down, and one of them is going to get redeemed.
Okay.
So between Vincent and Black Siren, I think by the end of the season, only one of them will still be a villain.
I'm thinking
Black Siren will stay a villain, and Vincent is going to get redeemed and end up kind of working with Dinah again. But I don't know. But that's my speculation on that.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good point. Yeah. What up? Did you have other things you wanted to address her voicemail with?
No, just like a lot of good thoughts that I totally agree with. It's good to hear them.
Oh, it's totally good. And me and Allison, we've actually been talking quite a bit behind the scenes. She actually is my new friend in real life, and she's great. And she had a lot of fun things to say about her trip to Heroes and Villains. I think she had a fantastic time.
Oh, so glad she got to go.
Yeah.
Oh, I did have one more thing. Sure. Wrote it down. So she mentioned Wild Dog / Renee not showing enough guilt, I guess.
Mm.
And I think that should have been our clue that it was him, because of everybody, he's the one that doesn't have a individual connection to the team, right? Because Curtis and Felicity are kind of friends, and Dinah and Diggle are kind of friends. Who does Wild Dog have? Nobody.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't really connect with anybody one-on-one.
Like, it would be Oliver, but Oliver's not around.
Yeah. But that calls back to what I was saying. He did start developing a working relationship with Lance, and him and Curtis were kind of getting a bromance going.
Yeah.
So
I like the Wild Dog and Mr. Terrific bromance. I thought that was cute.
So, but yeah, no, I feel like he outside of the team, I would say Lance is maybe his closest friend in a sense, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe Oliver too. So yeah, I don't know. Weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, Allison, thank you so much, or I should say Gray Alert, thank you so much for that awesome email, or voicemail, jeez.
Yeah.
We're moving on to two more emails here. We've got one from Christy. I'll let you take that one.
Sure. Christy writes in and says, I don't think I've ever seen so much manufactured drama in one episode. We went from a well-oiled machine to everyone distrusting everyone. Also, having everyone quit the team seems hollow since we know they'll be back soon enough. I thought Renee's plan was rather poorly thought through. What, was he just going to stroll into court and sit down in the witness chair while the rest of the team stares in shock? Doesn't the whole team have trackers on them? Very good point. Felicity tracking them didn't seem much different from that. Dinah and Renee had no ground to stand on, considering they did have something to hide. Also, excellent point. And Curtis quitting was the only one that kind of made sense, especially since he's been there longer. I think if they had him quit on the grounds of I should not be treated like a newbie because I've been here longer than them, I think that would have been a lot smarter than him quitting because of the tracking thing when he's done that exact thing. She continues to say, I have a hard time believing that Felicity doesn't regularly sweep the lair for security threats like a hidden camera. Agree. That aside, I'm very intrigued by the army Caden James has assembled. That's quite a formidable foe that should keep them occupied for a while. Even more interesting that Vigilante is on his team. I can't wait to see Dinah's reaction to that. My favorite moments were the awesome heist to Argus when Oliver and Felicity first go see each other at the reception, Curtis's drunken rambling toast, and Black Siren letting Lance go. Yeah.
Yeah, all some good scenes. I actually didn't like Curtis's drunken rambling toast. To me, that was over the top annoying.
But the other ones were great moments.
Yeah, he had some other good moments. I don't like drunk people in general. They annoy me all over the place. So that scene just really is like, oh, shut him up.
They're annoying in real life and they're equally annoying on TV, in my opinion.
But I tried to counter that point earlier in the podcast, the whole thing about the security camera. I'm sure the team did sweeps. I'm sure the team looked for everything. But that's why I wanted to make sure to point out the camera was way up in the rafters, which I'm sure they did not look. They probably checked the desks and the computer monitors and, you know, and looked for hijacked software or whatever like that. But that camera was way up in the rafters. So for that point, I defend our villain team a little bit.
Yeah. Perhaps. I don't know. I think we'll find out more about that next half. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our last email we got from Dad L. And here he says, hello, squad. It finally happened. This is the first episode of the season that I'm disappointed with. Oh, no. We're ending with two sour emails. I thought we took a huge step backwards with our characters. With the growth they have exhibited, the drama felt forced. The crossover should have been the fall finale, because this episode is underwhelming to say the least. Yeah, you know what? I have said that on every podcast about every show, that the big crossover should be the fall finales. But anyway, I must say, I thought Oliver's return as a Green Arrow would have been a bigger plot point. It seems to just have happened, despite what Oliver promised William. Did they just drop that? Yeah, we kind of touched on that, and that's why I think that Oliver will suit up when the situation is dire enough, like saving a friend's life. So let's hope that they come back to that, and you know, whether William finds out about it or not, we'll have to see. I was excited by the ending and Arrow's own Legion of Doom, so we will see where that takes us. I also enjoyed the scene between Lance and Black Siren. Show us more of that, please. I give this episode 6 out of 10 Black Siren tears. Dad-El, Last Father of Krypton.
I think a lot of the focus on Oliver becoming the Green Arrow again was just sort of hijacked by how focused this episode was on Wild Dog. And yeah. I think that now I like this episode. I rated this 8 out of 10. And I think there were some strong moments. I think the wedding was beautifully done. I think the villainy darkness at the end was beautifully done. And I think a lot of the stuff in the middle was good. But like Christy said, a lot of it did feel like manufactured drama. And it didn't have to be, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's comics. You know, they do this kind of drama. And we're watching superhero shows because we like that kind of thing. And I get it. And that's lovely. Right. But there could have been some slight tweaks in there to where Wild Dog's betrayal could have been more forced. His hand could have been forced. He could have had, you know, like maybe he could have asked Oliver for some sort of help with Zoe and Oliver could have turned him down and that he could have felt pre-betrayed by that. Or Dinah's storyline could have been a bit more explored to where when the team found out, rather than just chewing her out in a dramatic scene, they could have actually talked to her about what was going on with her and Vigilante and got more information about what she was doing. And it could have been more meaningful than just some sort of angry stare off. Mm-hmm. And Curtis's exit could have been because he didn't like that he was a newbie when he should be treated as different than the newbies. You know, there were little things they could have fixed in there. And then also given Oliver's journey a bit more of a nod with his return to having to be the Green Arrow, despite possibly going to jail for it, that could have taken this episode from an 8 to a 10. But I still liked it.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you, Christy and Dad-El, for those emails. We are going to end our feedback for this week and for our mid-season finale with none other than Green Butterfly. Let's see what she has to say.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Okay, so it was no secret that I was super worried about the title of this episode. Irreconcilable Differences? That's what people write on their divorce papers. If they had undone the beautiful moment they did last week in the crossover, I would have been one inconsolable butterfly. I am still sad, though, to have the team all split up like this, but I do understand Oliver's decision after Evelyn betrayed them before, and there's always bad guys trying to manipulate the people closest to you. I could see why he thinks that surveillance might have been necessary. I think the saddest departure was Curtis, because he gave up his marriage to serve Oliver. To see him look so betrayed and wanting to leave was extra sad. I wanted to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We are strong. We are many. And it appears as though we're going to have to teach the television Arrow Squad about sticking together, because the bad guys have formed a partnership. And divided, we cannot stand. This episode gets 8 out of 10 beautiful entrances. Have a super holiday. Talk to you soon. Green Butterfly out.
She is so good with words sometimes and putting things together. I always love how she just puts a capper on everything. And she describes it awesome. And that's why I love ending it with her feedback. So thanks so much, Green Butterfly. And thank you, everyone. All of our feedbackers. And just let me and Cammy also pass along happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever you believe in out there, guys. We just hope you have an awesome holiday break from our shows. We can't wait to get back to being with you all and back with our Arrow Squad. And as
absolutely. Stay warm. Have a wonderful time with family. I hope you all have a very superhero-esque holiday season.
Exactly. And that kind of brings us to the end, Cammy. As much as I don't want it to end, I don't want to take a break because Arrow is flying high.
I don't want to take a break either.
We kind of have to, but just to remind everybody, we'll be back January 18th for episode 10 titled Divided.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for it already. And is there anything our listeners can look forward to over hiatus?
Well, first off, they can always go to airsquad.com to connect with us. And if they want to talk to me personally, you can get to me on Twitter at CyberTiger17, as well as at you, Cammy, at Cammy and Ray. Also, come find me on Tomorrow's Legends as well, if you're watching Legends of Tomorrow. I know their finale was pretty bad, and I have yet to talk about that with Jess, but we will. I am hopefully going to be releasing my new Cybercash over the holidays. I know the last time I talked about it was the end of summertime there, but my God, it's just being too busy to get it going with having to do two shows. But I actually have recorded a couple episodes now. They're ready to go. I'm just working on the website issues and those kind of things. I will have time over the holidays. So hopefully, I'll let you all know, and hopefully I can have some of you guys follow me over there to my own personal show. Other than that,
I'm really excited for that. And if anybody wants to chat with me about Arrow or anything else, you can find me at Cammy and Ray.
There you go, guys. Well, Cammy, this has been a fun first half. I have totally enjoyed this with you. This is awesome.
I loved it.
I will be talking to you over the holidays, of course, because we said there might be a special treat for our Arrow Squad people coming up during the break as well. So don't forget to look for that.
Santa might have something.
Yes, don't go hiding from our Facebook page or anything like that. We might have something for you. Anyway, guys, happy holidays. This is The Flash, signing off.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.